No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises. And without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328 or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time to care.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing, bloody murder, molesting, running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around, something else is going wrong. Yeah, tell me, what the hell is going on?
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show on Louisville.am. It's where you'll hear the most interesting people in the Ville. And this is Rick Redding, your host, on with another great show this week. It's the last one of the year, if you can believe it or not. Show number 27. Never thought this would last. But here we are, and very excited about ending 2013, starting 2014. It's going to be a big year in 2014. I'll talk a little bit this week about reminiscing a bit about 2013. You know, all the media with the void of news at this time of year, it's really a time to reflect and look back on 2013. What happened? Good, bad, indifferent. And I'm going to talk about some stuff in the media. But first, I want to get on to I have two great guests this week. And you know, it is the last week of the year. It is right before the biggest sporting event in this state. The University of Louisville travels to Rupp Arena on Saturday to take on the Kentucky Wildcats. And, of course, I found a great guest that probably knows as much about that rivalry and about that the ins and outs, the little things that you don't know as anyone, and that is my friend Mark Coombs, who writes sports for Insider Louisville. He's a former Courier Journal writer and has just done a lot. He's a great guy, fascinating guy, and has great vocabulary, I'll tell you that. So let's get right on to it. I'm going to open up the show with Mark Coombs, and later on, hang on, we'll have December, January. It's time to think about what? Golf. That's right, golf. My guest, John Ashton, is a local radio personality, has a great show that you'll learn about golf, and we'll talk about that shortly. But first, I want to get on with it. Here's my conversation with Mark Coombs.
You love Louisville. You want Louisville when and where you want it? There's something new every day at Louisville.am.
All right, it's a big weekend in sports in the Commonwealth and at the University of Louisville. And so I have, as my guest here on the Rusty Satellite Show, Mark Coombs, who is, if you really want to know what's going on, you read his stuff in Insider Louisville. Mark's been around a long time covering sports and other things. And Mark, welcome into the studio.
Thanks for having me, Rick.
All right, so you're off and running on this big week. What's the... Let's just get right into basketball. You know,
there's a game.
There's a big game this week.
About time for UL, huh?
I know. I've been going to all these 30-point blowouts. I'm getting kind of tired of it. But you know, I don't like those guys at UK. You know, I just don't like their attitude. I don't like the whole thing. But just give me your assessment of what you think is going to happen this week,
Rick. I don't think anybody knows. Mm-hmm. I don't think either side knows. I heard Matt Jones, the bete noir of Card Nation, as it were, say the other day that Kentucky could win by 10 or 15, it wouldn't surprise him, and Louisville could win by 10 or 15, it wouldn't surprise him, and anything in between. Well, that basically covers every eventuality now, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's called covering your bases, I guess. But we really know U of L is going to win. But I don't know. Going into Rupp Arena, there's all these things that go on with the game. One of the things I talked about last week, I thought was interesting about how worked up the fan base gets over this. And you know, Kevin Ware said in the locker room last week that it's not really that big a deal to the players.
Just another game.
It's just another game to the
players.
It gets
old. It gets boring, he said.
Yeah, what do you think that's the way they all feel?
You know, I don't know. I can understand getting burned out about hearing about one opponent all the time. On the other hand, what are they waiting for? I mean, they've been playing a bunch of tomato cans, punching them out by 30 points every day. They don't have that many big opponents in conference. What does it take to get these guys excited?
Yeah, well, you wonder, and you know, I can remember, and I'm sure you do too. Like, I was there in 1983. Were you there the first game down in Knoxville?
I was a student at UK.
Oh, are you?
Yes, I was.
Did you go down to Knoxville for it?
I did not.
Oh, okay. Well, I had tickets that I never used, believe it or not. But that's another story. But I was working at UT as a student assistant, and then I came down there, and there was so much excitement because it was the NCAA tournament, but it was also the fact that a lot of the players were from Kentucky, you know, on both teams. And I don't know if you think that, you know, makes a difference. You know, all these guys that aren't from Kentucky, I don't think they all get the rivalry.
No, they don't. But, you know what, I'm not sure that's a great excuse. You come here and you put on the colors, and to some extent, it seems like you're obliged, if anything, by just osmosis, to assume the values of the people that support you. Mm-hmm. And to blatantly blow it off or downplay it is, in my opinion, not just silly, but disrespectful.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I suppose we'll see. I think we'll see a lot of emotion as we get closer to the game, I guess. And you got any plans for any particular angle you're going to take in what you write?
No, I think we just got to sit back and see what happens. I mean, I think that, to tell you the truth, Rick, I'm ready for this game to get here. We've been talking about it 4 months. I don't recall, and maybe it's because, you know, I'm getting old and my memory fades, and I fall victim to the fallacy of recency like everyone else, but it doesn't seem like there's been one that's been this anticipated for this long. And I think part of that has to do with the fact there's been very little to distract U of L fans since football started. You know, there hadn't been any big games hardly.
Well, you know, I think there's that, and there, I think the whole, you know, both programs are really good, mm-hmm. but they've got a totally different philosophy on how to approach being good.
Right.
I think the contrast between Patino's approach and Calipari's approach, maybe that, you know, adds to it, and all these Kentucky fans that, you know, I say the Kentucky fans, they'd say the Louisville fans, but, you know, the fan bases are the ones that really create the animosity toward each other, right?
They do. The players don't have any animosity. I don't know how it is at Auburn, Alabama in football. Most of those guys, or a lot of those guys, come from in-state, so they grow up with that animosity. You know, basketball is more of a mercenary sport. You have a lot of hired guns out there who come from all over the place, and in the case of UK, you know, they only stay for 6 months.
Right.
So they don't really have a chance to build up that reservoir of hatred, which may not be a bad thing, because Lord knows the fans supply enough as it is.
So you were a UK student, and I know you worked for a while covering UK with the Cat's Paws and
Courier,
and the Courier, and you know, now you're in Louisville, and it seems like, from what I read, you're more. I mean, you must be like every other writer in town. They don't, nobody thinks you're neutral, right?
No, everybody thinks that I'm for the other team, which is, you know, if you're in our business, that's the way you kind of want it.
Yeah.
That means you must be going fairly down the middle. But I don't make any bones about the fact that I'm when push comes to shove, I'm a U of L fan. I mean, I grew up a U of L fan, and I was hardcore about it when I was a teenager and in college. You know, as a student at UK, I got in some fights with my own fraternity brothers over it. And I went to the very first installment of the Dream Game, the regular season game. I won a student lottery and got one of the lower arena tickets and wore a red blazer, a white shirt, and a black tie. Oh, yeah. And boy, did we take a beating that day.
That was risky, I'm sure. Well, I've always been a U of L fan, going back to when UK was, you know, thought they were better than U of L and wouldn't deign to play them. And
right.
That was a big controversy when we were growing up. So, well, let's move on to football. What do you think about the bowl game this week?
I think it's going to be an interesting game. I think that Louisville fans are taking Miami a little bit for granted. I don't think that Louisville has played that well this season. Despite their record, you got to account for the competition, which hasn't been very good. And let's face it, if Teddy Bridgewater doesn't pull a couple of Houdini acts out of his behind in the fourth quarter against Cincinnati, this bowl game and the entire season has a totally different look.
Well, it does. I think it's kind of frustrating to watch this team. a lot of games. I'm a season ticket holder. I go to all the home games expecting, you know, a really good, solid victory, and they're scratching and clawing every game. They never seem to score more than 20 points. You know, it's just it hadn't been very exciting, I guess.
No, it really hasn't been. And the thing is the defense has played very well all year long, except for that third quarter against Central Florida, where they got steamrolled as much by momentum as by Central Florida, which is a flip side from last year when the defense was pretty ragged. But the offense just has not gotten it going, and a lot of that comes from the fact that, you know, everybody overlooks them, but the offensive line. Look, football is about blocking and tackling. If you can't block or tackle, you're doomed. Now, U of L can tackle, but the blocking is pretty suspect.
Yeah, and I just wonder, you know, everybody in sports plays what if. What if they hadn't had that quarter? What if they'd have won that Central Florida game? What if they were one of the only teams in the country that was undefeated? Where would they be playing?
I think they would be playing in the Fiesta Bowl against Baylor.
Okay. Just like UCF is, right?
Just like UCF is.
But, well, obviously, and you wrote today about Teddy Bridgewater. We don't see many like him. There's no question he's going to leave, right?
Well, I don't know that I would say there's no question. In fact, I think the Miami game could have something to do with that. If they really got trashed, I think he would feel – I think it would be harder for him to make the decision to turn his back on his brothers. I mean, he's got some – close friends who grew up with him in Miami on the U of L team. I think he would have maybe some reservations about leaving on that note, but it sure sounds, you know, from his recent tweets and his interview last week with the media and just plain old common sense. Yeah, he can't walk. I mean, you can't improve on being the number one pick in the draft, and right now that looks to be where he is. He's certainly not going to fall much farther than that.
Yeah, and how can you – you know, I always look. There was a back. I was at UK, and I'm sure you were there when Rex Chapman was there, and I remember the controversy over him leaving to go to the NBA, and everybody said, "Why wouldn't he stay?" And I thought, "Dude, you're a sophomore in college, and an employer walks in and offers you this big contract. I mean, who would turn that down?"
I don't think too many people would, not unless their family came from money the way that, you know, Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck did, where they had that, you know, leisure. Teddy doesn't really have that. Most people don't. And at some point, it's just silly to keep running in place. I mean, Teddy's at the point at U of L now where he's at the point of diminishing returns. What else can he do here? How much better can he really get? You know, he's going to be essentially the same player 12 months from now that he is right now.
Mm-hmm.
So if he were to come back a year, it's still a year of earnings he can never get back. I mean, you only have so many years you can play in the NFL. And each one you take off of that is one you can't get back on the other end.
That's exactly right. So, all right. So we're gonna lose Teddy, and next year schedule gets a whole lot tougher. How's U of L? I mean, I don't think anybody thinks we're gonna go into the season thinking they're gonna go 11-1 again.
Oh heck no.
How is the mood around here gonna be 6 months from now when we're in August when we're lining up to play our first game?
I think there's going to be a lot of excitement tempered with some anxiety. You're going to have a brand new quarterback who, unfortunately, I thought one of the things about this season that would shake out would be that U of L would have so many blowouts that Will Gardner, the freshman backup, would get some experience. That didn't turn out to be the case, and that's going to come up and bite him next year. And because of that, they're going to run the ball probably even more next year than they did this year, and we all know how popular that was with the fans in 2013.
Right, they could potentially win all their games and still have a disgruntled fan base because it wasn't as much fun. You know?
Well, you know what? To be honest, it wasn't a lot of fun sometimes this year. You know, the offense did underachieve, and part of that is you know, if you can't block, you can't move the ball, and they had to run the ball, or Teddy would have been squashed like a bug. I mean, he's been sacked 83 times in 3 years at U of L.
Yeah, that's a lot. I saw that stat in your story today, and it is. You know, he's an amazing player, once every decade or two type player, and Louisville's been fortunate to have good quarterbacks. If they have a mediocre quarterback next year, going up against the competition they're going to face in the ACC, and I saw Notre Dame's on the schedule, and I think it's gonna be a lot different. I mean, even, you know, I'm sure U of L fans would shudder now that we're all used to going to bowl games every year, but they might not even have a winning record.
I think that's possible. I think that depends on how much they shore up the offensive line and how quickly Will Gardner learns. Everything I've heard about Will Gardner has been flattering. He's a very smart guy, and he's a hard worker, and he's got good physical tools, but he's still going to be a freshman. So unless you're a super-duper freshman like Bridgewater or Johnny Manziel or Jameis Winston, you know, that's a tough row to hoe.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be tough. So, okay, we got to wrap it up here, Mark. Who's going to win Saturday? In the first game.
The first game. You know, Rick, I really don't know. I guess if you pushed me, I would say Kentucky. They have the home court advantage, and when they really extend themselves, they're so long they make it difficult to get a good shot. And U of L's got to make shots because they're not going to be able to play fetch against Kentucky. They're a great rebounding team.
Well, it's going to be great to watch, and you know, I'll accept your prediction, but I'm going to go the other way. And you think the Cards are going to come through in the bowl game?
I do. I think they'll come out with the urgency that we saw against Florida in the Sugar Bowl last year. I think the rest will do them good. I think what Teddy went through since the season ended with all of the not getting the individual honors, not being invited to New York, not making the top 10, not even being first team all conference, I think they'll be fired up to show something.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing about bowl games. Nobody expected what happened against Florida in the Sugar Bowl last year.
No.
Nobody thought that was going to happen. So you wonder what crazy thing, you know, might happen this time, on a different stage. So I'm going to be sitting in front of my couch for 6 hours straight on Saturday. I don't know.
I think we all are. We might move around a little bit. Some people are going to be too drunk to watch the second half of the game, I predict. The bowl game, I mean.
Yeah, that might be true, too. But, you know, we'll keep the chicken wings and pizza coming and loading up on the cold ones. So, anyway, Mark, we'll be looking forward to seeing what you have to say about both games on Insider Louisville. And you're always insightful pieces there. And we'll look forward to that and look forward to a big weekend.
All right, Rick, thanks for having me. It should be fun.
Learn about the movers and shakers in the Louisville business scene with Startup, Conversations with Louisville Entrepreneurs. A new episode every Tuesday at Louisville.am.
No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises. And without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328 or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time to care.
Okay, Mark, and I want to remind our listeners to tune in to Insider Louisville to see Mark's comments and stories about U of L sports and a lot of other sports-related activities that Mark keeps up with. It's really great stuff. So anyway, this week we wanted to talk about a few end-of-the-year things. I tell you, I made a decision when this first happened that I thought it was too stupid to talk about. I do not want to talk about Duck Dynasty, but I feel I have to, just for a minute. First, I want to make it clear, I would never watch a show like that. And I never have, and I never will. I just don't do redneck. Okay, and whatever the show does, everything I've heard about it, it tells me something I'm not interested in tuning in. I don't like reality TV. There's a lot better things to watch on TV than a bunch of rednecks. Okay, so there, I'm out there. And, you know, I have a right to say that about those people. And the guy from Duck Dynasty that made the homophobic comments, the ill-informed comments, he's a famous person. He's a public figure. He has every right to say whatever he wants to say about his personal beliefs about things. But he also has to understand with that right comes a responsibility and comes the feedback and the backlash that he's gotten. He understands if you want to be a famous person and say something that is totally sort of controversial, especially about a subject like being gay and gay rights, you're going to get some feedback. So he has the right to say it, and his network has the right to fire him. That's just the way it works in America. So, you know, the overreaction in the media it gets me angry. So his consequences, if he gets knocked off the air, if he doesn't get knocked off the air, I don't care. I'm not going to watch that show. I don't watch those kind of people that believe that way. And that's my choice. But he's famous, and he's going to get a lot of attention for saying what he said on the air. So anyway, on to brighter things. I want to talk for a minute about 2013. And personally, it was quite a great year for me, a transitional year, I guess. I always say that when I talk to people, I say, well, you know, I've never been like a steady guy. I've got friends who've been in the same job for 20 years. A lot of our guests here on the Rusty Satellite Show have some stability in their lives, but in my work life, my home life, in terms of the residence that I live, and with the, you know, occasional references to my love life, I seem to change them every year or so, and I don't know why that is. I always mean for things to last, but they just don't. But this year, one thing in my residence, I moved into my mother's house after she passed away, and finally sold the house and was able to move out of Highview and into Okolona. It's been a very good move for me. Moved into an apartment complex that I really like, and I got that whole, all the remnants of the real estate transaction, out of my system. It's a complicated thing, but I was in an ownership program due to my mom's will with my ex-in-laws, and now I don't have to deal with them again, and that's probably a good thing too. So Bob Sokoler, who I will say will be a future Rusty Satellite guest, will help me sell the house, and it really went well. But the other, some of the other big events that happened to me this year, I was running to first base in a softball game and pulled up lame, found out I had a medial meniscus tear, had to go have surgery in May, and I'm just now recovering enough to get mildly competitive on the racquetball court. That's been a big a big part of my life, working out and being athletic and being a good racquetball player. So now I'm back and playing again. Knee surgery. I don't know how people, when this surgery didn't exist, I don't know how people that had this kind of injury, if they just limped around the rest of their lives. It's just amazing what the doctors can do. I did a couple of other big things this year. One, I took my sons Luke and Josh on a driving vacation to New Orleans in November. We met with their brother Nick down there and just had a great time. It was maybe the highlight of the year, among other things that I did. I have been grateful to keep the same job at Alpha Energy Solutions. I got great boss, great people out there, and that's some stability in my life. I say stability. I'm coming up on 2 years at the same job. So if I make four, then we got some news. And I'm hesitant to talk about this, but I'm just going to mention a little bit about my love life. The last time, on this show, I had Angie Fenton here around my birthday, and we talked about dating and stuff like that. And I'll never forget, I got a reaction from somebody that said, basically, and I quote, "Who would ever date Rick Redding? He's an idiot and a jerk." Which that may have been the highlight of the year for me, but I did eventually. I was in a long-term relationship, and that ended, unfortunately. And I tried some online dating and did very social guy, I guess. But anyway, in July, I went to a networking function, and I met a young woman that after a few, fits and starts. After a while, we started getting along, and as we come to the end of the year, very happy to be with Paula. So you might notice a picture of her. She was on the Rusty Satellite Show website modeling the Rusty Satellite T-shirts that are now available. And hope nobody feels like they have to make another comment like that when I got in the summertime about my dating life. But anyway, that's it, it's just a part of the change in life and things you do. And, it certainly has an effect on your happiness and the way you feel about things in the world. So anyway, I'm very happy as 2013 comes to a close. The biggest thing maybe that happened in 2013 in my life was starting the Rusty Satellite Show. And at this point, had 54 great conversations with prominent people in Louisville, all ranges, politicians, writers, a lot of people in the media, a lot of people that are making things happen in this city. And I'm very proud of the record that we have, and very happy to have gotten Passport Health Plans to come on board and sponsor the show. So hopefully we'll be doing this again, this time at the end of 2014, and talk about all the different things that happened then. So next week I'll sort of look ahead to 2014 and talk about that a little bit. So that's where we are now. Next up, we've got John Ashton, and John is a longtime radio personality in this town, and had this great idea with some other folks, and you'll hear all about this. He started a show called Those Weekend Golf Guys, and it's kind of obscure, you might say. It airs on Sunday on a radio station, and you probably haven't heard of it, but maybe you have. It's been picking up audience, and they've got a big plan for 2014. It's there's some information about it on the RustySatelliteShow.com website, and I like to talk about golf. I had a good year. You know, among the things I did today, did in 2013, I played a lot of golf. My friends, my sons, broke 90 once, maybe twice. Anyway, that's the level of play that I am. I go to public courses and just have a good time with the game. It's a great way to enjoy the weather and be outside and you know, try to get better at something. It's what I always try to do. Try to improve, constantly improve. So anyway, I wanted to get on with my interview with John Ashton. He came by the studios at Louisville.am, and we had a nice chat about golf. Here it is. And here we are on the Rusty Satellite Show. I'm in the studio in the Highlands with John Ashton. Welcome to the show, John.
Hey, how are you? Good to be here.
I'm so excited to talk about golf in December.
Yeah, like I said earlier, for those of us who talk a much better game than we play, it's always fun, isn't it?
You know, the playing's better, but, you know, and when you look outside and it's snow or, you know, it's 30 degrees and all that, I like to think about golf because it is all good. Now, tell me just a little bit, and tell our listeners a little bit about how you got involved in this, those Weekend Golf Guys, which is a great name.
I will make it as short as possible. back in 2008, I used to work on a regular basis here in town, and in 2008, I was told by the company for which I worked on the radio that I was too expensive and needed to go make my own way in the world. So I did this, right. I'll be perfectly honest with you, and I hope, you know, our friends at the IRS aren't listening, but I did it simply to make golf tax deductible.
Okay, well, all that's right? A good idea.
It's kind of two hobbies rolled into one. And we started a show just on Saturdays, did start it out with 30 minutes on a Saturday morning on a local radio station, called it Those Weekend Golf Guys. Actually, we didn't. We called it the Kentuckiana Golf Guide.
Yawn.
Is what we called it first, right? And we had one sponsor who sent me a little email 3 weeks into the show saying, hey, I just heard from somebody in Michigan that they heard about my tees from those golf guys in Louisville. And we said, oh, wait a minute. That'd be a great name for the show.
Yeah, there
so
you go.
So we changed it. And to be honest with you, in 4.5 years, it's kind of taken on a life of its own. And
4.5 years,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah, taken me along with it.
It's hard to imagine that, you know, people say this about golf. If you don't play or you're not into it, you know, watching it on TV is like watching paint dry or whatever. Now,
Now,
if they feel like that, you know, listening to guys talk about it on the radio, that seems like that would really be difficult to make interesting.
Well, you know, one thing we don't do is we don't talk about the pros. You know, you got a lot of people around you, Golf Channel and PGA Radio and all those people doing that. We basically talk about the average person. And either how they can play better, how they can basically how they can have more fun playing golf, whether it means new places to play, new stuff to play with, new ways to play, you know, new techniques or whatever. And we tell every guest that we have, they always say, well, how long is this interview going to be? And I tell them flat out, I say, until you start to bore me. And then you're out of here, because we do not take ourselves or anybody else too seriously. The big thing is having fun. And we've gotten a few people, one of the best compliments I've ever gotten is some lady said, you know, I don't even like golf, but I love listening to you guys. You know, so it's a good time.
Well, it must be, and I have to admit I haven't listened to it yet, but I'm going to start becoming
you're the
a regular
one.
Listener. I'm the one. I'm the last guy in Louisville. Guilty.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I can imagine. Now, you guys are now you said it's been going for 4.5 years, but now there's a big movement afoot, right?
Yes, we have.
I was starting to think of a golf pun to use in that.
we have there. Been nationally syndicated.
Okay, you're going up to the big boy tees.
We're going all the way to the – yeah, we're playing from the tips now. It's terrible. we've been working at it. We had a last year, you know, the PGA Merchandise Show down in Orlando happens every year. Mm-hmm. Last year we sent out for credentials because we figured, hey, we should go. And they had never heard of us, and they thought we were just some guys scamming for free tickets. Mm-hmm. So they checked us out, checked out the website, listened to some of the archived podcasts on the website and things like that.
Because you know we do that, scamming for free tickets in the media sometimes.
That's why we get in the media, isn't it?
That's right.
It's, you know, you don't make any money.
Perks.
It's just, you know, all the it used to be what all the coffee you can drink and all the records you could steal is what we got when I started. But I got a real nice letter from the head of media for the PGA show, Sherry Major's her name. She said, love your website, love your show, and we'd like to offer you the opportunity to do your show live from the floor of the PGA show.
No way.
We normally reserve that for network shows only, but that was a big turning point for us because it exposed us to a whole lot of people in the industry.
Okay.
And that just kept led from one thing to another. We got a lot of people, a lot of PR people starting to get in contact with us in the past year saying, hey, you know, push my client and all this kind of stuff. And it just led to enough people talking often enough that folks in the media heard and said, hey, this is a different approach to golf. Let's pick it up.
And you got some free stuff.
We got every now and again we get free stuff. Yeah. Yeah. That's it.
It's all about getting free stuff.
I haven't played for 18 holes. I haven't paid to play in a couple of years now. So it all works out in the end, you know?
Well, that sounds like a good plan. I keep paying that $12 to get on at Seneca. And I want to find my way around that. You know, there's just got to be a way to get that free.
Yeah. Well, you know, when someone comes and says, hey, you want to play the Pete Dye course up at French Lick? It's on us.
Oh.
You know? Yeah, that'll save me about $350. Sure. I'd love to.
You know, I got an idea.
Yeah.
I'm going to change the name of my show to the Rusty Satellite Golf Show.
And we'll bury you.
Don't have to talk about golf.
It's just what's on the business card that counts, man.
That's right. So anything to get free stuff. So, but your show, when you say it's going nationally, there's some details there, and I understand you're raising some money to try to
make this happen. It ain't cheap, because suddenly people say, well, you know, you got to get your signal from Louisville, Kentucky to Bakersfield, California without losing anything so they can put it on a satellite and then rebroadcast it to, you know, everybody. And the stuff to do that, we say, yeah, no problem. And then we call up a broadcast sales company and say, how much does it cost for X, Y, and Z? And they tell us, and we fall over and say, whew, yeah, it's very expensive.
Can we pay in golf balls?
Yeah, exactly. Would you like to have some free rounds? Could we trade it out for free golf? And they said no. So well, we've got a little campaign going on Indiegogo. Because, you know, suddenly we're filled, we're nothing to hit but the heights here. You know, it's a nationally syndicated radio show. So, of course, we want to have high-definition video to go along with that so everybody can watch as we're doing it, you know. And that just adds to
the
expense.
We're getting that on the Rusty Satellite Show, too.
Yeah.
Next week.
Good. We'll let you borrow our cameras if you want to kick in half the price. But we're trying to raise some money so, you know, we can basically do it upright. Because we don't want anybody to look at it and say, well, this looks like, you know, low rent, amateur production time. Because anything worth doing is worth overdoing. We've always believed that.
There you go.
And so that's what we're doing. It's Indiegogo.com, which is a great, you know, crowdfunding source site. And it's a cool thing. You just go there and check out. It's called Golf Guys Gone National. Is the name of the campaign.
Very good. Yeah. And there's a link to it on LouisvilleKY.com and RustySatelliteShow.com. Listeners out there want to check that out. Now what do you do, though, to I'm trying to imagine the show and how many people are on it and who are they and they must be funny or something.
Well, we have basically a nucleus of three people. There's me, and you know I'm basically just a ringmaster. We have one of the best teachers in the country. He's won the Indiana Section Teacher of the Year Award multiple times, and I wouldn't be too surprised to see him be named by Golf Digest magazine as one of the top 100 teachers in the world next year. His name's Jeff Smith. He's a teaching pro up at Otter Creek in Columbus, Indiana.
Okay.
And he's phenomenal. And he can talk you into a better game. You tell him what you're doing. You just say, Jeff, I always hit it to the right. He can tell you exactly why. And can fix you verbally. But then we also have a Facebook site where he'll put up a video every week of, you know, some little instructional doodad. And then we got another guy who most people in town know because he's been here forever. His name's Biggs Tabler. He's been in the media business forever. And Biggs, we refer to him affectionately as our old guy in funny pants. he's the guy. He's the consummate. He is what you think of when you think of a golfer if you're not a golfer.
Right.
In fact, he showed up this weekend in his red corduroy with green Christmas tree pants just for us. But he
borrowed those from me.
Don't ask for them back if you know what I'm saying. But he's played everywhere. I mean, you want to talk about playing at Pebble Beach, you want to talk about playing at Torrey Pines or any of the golf courses that most golfers aspire to someday. It's on my bucket list. He's been there. Mm-hmm. So we always go to him for that.
So but, he's got the stories.
Yeah.
Well, let's like just think that it's sunny and 70 degrees outside right now. Where do you like to play here in town?
I play at Indian Springs a lot, Quail Chase a lot.
Indian Springs, so you don't mind hitting the houses.
Well, actually, no. Well, I always play with other people so that you can always point to them if you hit a house. But actually, I avoided Indian Springs until I convinced myself that more times than not I can hit the ball straight, or at least keep it
okay
in the short rough. You know,
I always end up like you go in somebody's backyard and you got to hit it around the swing set or the sandbox. Those little red lines say you're not supposed to go over there.
One of the rules that we do adapt ourselves to is we figure a buck and a half average price of a golf ball is enough of a penalty. So you don't have to worry about the strokes and all that kind of stuff. Just, move on.
Okay, Indian Springs and where?
Quail Chase.
I'm familiar with that. That's a public course. You got 27 holes out there.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
It's a nice place.
Seneca is usually too crowded when I get there. One thing I just don't like playing slowly. It really ruins my timing. Shawnee, if you want to talk city courses, Shawnee, I love that. And Ventnor, it's my favorite course in the city.
Yeah, I like Ventnor. I think it's the most challenging of the city courses.
Yeah,
agree with what you say about Seneca. I've had plenty of 5.5 hour rounds out there, and Shawnee, it's kind of flat and easy if you're just learning. I think that's the place to go.
Yeah, and they do have a few challenging holes out there, and it's a lot like you learned about Egypt too. Every couple of years when the Ohio floods, and you can't play out there for April and May, but then you go back and it's so lush and green and pretty. It's really nice out there. But
lastly, let's talk about you give advice on the show, I guess, about golf game, and you say you got a lot of women that are also
We're trying to get more people involved in the game because nationally. Especially with the economic downturn, it's perceived as being expensive and takes too much time, and it's the first thing that everybody can learn to live without.
But people always say to me, they say, man, I like golf, but it takes too much time. I say, well, the good thing about it is it takes too much time.
Exactly. You have an excuse.
You're outside for 5 hours. And, there's nothing bad about that.
But juniors, one of the things we found out that, with the Title IX, where you have to have as many female athletes as you do male athletes in any program in college, there were 900 scholarships for women in golf that went unclaimed last year.
Wow.
So you teach your daughter how to play golf, and the chances of you having to come out of pocket a whole lot for college are slimmer.
Well, there you go.
And that's what we're just trying to do. And it's a great way to meet people and to learn about people. Because golf, they say golf doesn't build character, it reveals character. So I'll suggest to any woman, if you're dating and you want to get serious, play around the golf with the guy. Exactly.
Yeah, I've got a young lady that we're going to try that in the spring. She says she knows what she's doing. But we'll see. We'll just see about that, I guess.
Yeah. It's also a great way to get to know your business associates better, too.
Yeah, play a lot of business golf. Yeah. Certainly got to know how to play a scramble. Got to know the rules, all those basics. And I'm sure if you listen to your show, so one last pitch. We got to wrap it up here, John.
Sure.
But tell me about the show again, and when our friends can listen to it.
Okay, can I give frequencies and call letters?
Do whatever you can.
Locally, you can find us Saturday afternoons, noon to one, on 970 WGTK Radio, or you can listen online. iHeartRadio or TuneIn, we're on. If you're listening to this somewhere out in the hinterlands, check local listings because we are available various and sundry places. But you can listen online.
And when you do go with this bigger network, if you got any list or it's not how many places it's going to be.
Yeah,
able?
We found out the first weekend we were the number one weekend show on KNDO in Thousand Oaks, California.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So if you're in L.A., you can listen to us.
All right. We'll touch a Louisville around the country, I guess. So anyway, that'll wrap it up here. John, thanks for coming by and talking to us about golf in December.
Anytime.
It's really great. And good luck with those weekend golf guys. Again, there's information on LouisvilleKY.com and RustySatelliteShow.com about those weekend golf guys. And that concludes the 27th edition of the Rusty Satellite Show, the last Rusty Satellite Show of 2013. What a great time it's been. I wish I could just list all my guests and thank them all for taking their time, the time out of their days and their lives to come and talk with me in this unique format. And the momentum for the show keeps building and growing. Very happy with the way the Rusty Satellite Show has ended. I do have some T-shirts available for anyone that is really into the show about the most interesting people in the Ville. You have to contact me directly on those, and there's a limited number. But anyway, 2013, what a great year. Really enjoyed it. I want to thank Dan Vonderhyde for giving me a call in the summertime and saying, hey, I think you ought to do a podcast on Louisville.am. And that's the way this whole ball game got started. I want to thank my son, Nick Redding, for coming up with the name Rusty Satellite Show, although he didn't even know it back when he was in high school. I was just saving that name for a time just like this. So, again, thanks again for 2013, and we'll look forward to seeing you next year. Maybe we'll talk about that big game going up this weekend and the big football game. What a big day it is going to be Saturday for the University of Louisville. Be great to see him win both the basketball game against UK and the bowl game against the University of Miami, and we'll go on from there. So until next time, this is Rick Redding for the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.